Morning. Do you remember that song you just sang? Hopefully you do, because if those words really sank into your consciousness and woke you up at all, I don't need to have devotions because it's what I was going to say. That's exciting. Thank you. Turn to Psalms chapter 24. I want to welcome the Faith Corral people here. I don't see too many of you in here just right now. You must have a good set of risers. They've really gone the distance. I stood on them one time. Long time ago. Sunday school is about worship. And our text is kind of a story about a worship experience that they had in the Old Testament. And some commentators believe that Psalms chapter 24 was written for that occasion. I don't know if we know that for sure. It easily could have been. I think many of the Psalms easily could have been. So think about that as we read this. Psalms chapter 24. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive a blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. I trust that as we come to church and we gather together, and especially with a Sunday school lesson like this, that we anticipate worship, that we're anticipating the King of glory coming in, like those last couple of verses. Draw quick attention to verse 5. Who are these things for? It's people that that call God our Savior, haven't bowed down to idols, but have called God our Savior. And verse 6 talks about people that are seekers. This whole aspect of worship could go in a lot of different directions. We could talk about singing and how it brings a blessing to God. And as it brings a blessing to God, it brings a blessing to us. And that's probably more the way I think about it, the blessing it brings to us. In this day of cell phones, we all become more keenly in tune to the idea of charging a battery and recharging a battery. And you look at your little thing on the screen of your cell phone, oh no, I need to charge my battery. And I kind of see churches like charging our worship battery. We come here and we get, it's not something that ends. Church starts something. It shouldn't end at lunchtime. It should start something that lasts till Wednesday night, and then we get together with our small group or come to prayer meeting and plug in a little bit and bump the battery up so we make it till Sunday again. Makes us keep on worshiping. I'll tell you an experience I had this week that I think illustrates that. This is kind of from my Sunday school class from last Sunday. If you guys remember, I'm over here. And we were talking about discipleship. You know, and it's important, and the Bible says it's needed, and there was some strong language in last Sunday school lesson. And invariably, we got on this conversation, you know, how does this is strong language here. God's saying this is really, really important. This is really basic. And we started talking about how does this tie into our salvation, and I'll put a note in here for you Sunday school teachers. We didn't get done last, so when we left Sunday school, I'm like, man, the discussion hadn't ended. I wasn't satisfied in my own mind. And guess what, Sunday school teachers? That's just fine. That doesn't matter at all. I mean, don't want to have that happen every single Sunday, I guess, but it doesn't matter sometimes, because it kept me thinking, and I guess I think slowly, because I didn't figure this all out till about Wednesday, and I felt like God gave me a thought on Wednesday that I want to share with you. And I had a worship experience on Wednesday because of what I was given, because I had to ponder Sunday school for about 3 days. And this is what I came up with on, and we have this conversation many times, you know, we talk about something that's really important in Scripture, and invariably we start saying, well, how's this tie in with salvation? And this is what God gave me on Wednesday that caused my worship service on Sunday morning to be extended. I'll be so bold to say, you know, God gave us this example in Scripture of Him as a Father and us as His children, just like so that we can compare that to our own physical families. And I'll be so bold to say that if we could understand the holiness of God, we would maybe decide that the most mature Christian is maybe like a four-year-old. Like a 10-year-old, you can leave a 10-year-old with somebody else for a couple of days, and they're going to be fine. And once they get to 14 or 15, you know, they could 16, 17, they could go away for a whole week and a half, and nothing too bad would happen. Is there anybody here that can leave God for a week and a half, and nothing too bad happens? So you're about a 4-year-old. Thank you very much. And I'm maybe 2 and a half, I don't know. I have a 4-year-old. Now, we spend a lot of time, you know, every single day kind of guiding and disciplining and trying to head. A 4-year-old takes, you got to just always be heading them in the right direction. It, turn your back for a minute and it's all going crazy. What if every time I guided my son, he would say, "You're still going to be my daddy, right? I'm still in his family, right? Am I still your boy? You still love me? But you're going to make me move away." And I almost felt like that's what we were saying to God last Sunday. How do we fit this all together? You're still going to be my daddy, right? Now, children voice funny things like that, and it tears a parent's heart out when they do. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come before you and we want to praise you again this morning and worship you, and that we would continue to worship you all the days of our life. Thank you for what you have in store for us and our service today, and pray that we would take it in, and that we would bless you today, and that you could bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.